Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. It is so good to be back with my sisters and Micah.
Yay!
Tiny's little midget. I mean, he's a baby. He's not a midget. Sorry. No offense. I am so glad to be here with my sisters. We are talking from Terrorize Bible Study, Cultivated Heart. And we are in Matthew, continuing the last verse of the Beatitudes, which is, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs."
Mm. I can't believe we're done. Can you believe that we are finished? We are at the point where we have gotten to the end of our study, and this section is called The Risks of Righteousness. It's amazing, the risks of righteousness. I want you to really think about this. And I recently read, and I cannot remember what author said it, but he said that there comes a point in time where every Christian has to determine that they're going to risk forward in Christ.
I love that.
And it's funny because when I was preparing for this section, when I did that resonated within my heart, and I thought, that's exactly what I talked about for us within this section of this Bible study. It's about the risks of righteousness, what we're going to risk. We have covered for the last 8 months. Can you imagine? For 8 months on the radio, we have been covering the Beatitudes, and we're finishing up this series. We're going to come back, and at the end, we'll start a new series. We're going to start Daybreak. Okay, because that'll be our next series that we'll be going through, and we'll be looking at different biblical characters and what they had to go through in order to see the daybreak that God had for them in their life.
So count it all joy.
That's it. But today, looking at, "Blessed are those who are persecuted, for they will see the kingdom of heaven," I want us to reflect back and look at what we've looked at over the last few months. We have examined, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." We've learned that literally becoming a crushed pauper spiritually in your heart before God, that God will then lift you up. "Blessed are those who mourn," or those who grieve over their sin, and that God will give them comfort. "Blessed are those who are meek," because they have discovered the messianic secret of understanding that meekness is not being too aggressive, but it's also not being too passive. And so that's a very important factor. And then, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness," are the ones that actually get to sit down and dine at the table with the Lord. "The merciful are the ones that receive mercy." Yeah. "And the pure in heart are the ones that get to see
God
with God's vision and get to see him." And then, "The peacemakers are the ones that God uses to publish the peace amongst us." Now, with the "blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake," they're the ones that will be living righteously and in a life that just truly gets to see the kingdom of heaven here and now. So that's what we're going to begin looking at. Now, as I was pondering this lesson in the book, Heart Garden, that particular book that is goes along with this study, Cultivated Heart, I talk about the missionaries in Central Asia. I can't share with you their names, but I wanted to share a story of something that just happened last week to show that persecution still goes on today. And oftentimes I think that we will look at certain things and think that we're being persecuted, and I think that we can, belittle true persecution. You know, we might think, oh, because my life is difficult, I'm being persecuted. But there are people that are being killed today for being able to speak their faith.
Right.
And my friends in Central Asia have been serving for 7 years in a region that has less than 1% Christians.
Wow.
Okay. And their ministry to this particular group of people, it's taken them this long to get to within the society to find out who the connections are within the groups of people so that they can even connect with the other believers. Now, they have led one or two people to the Lord in this time. Now, after 7 years, could you imagine 7 years and saying one or two? Well, recently they were contacted secretly. And at this particular time in that region that they're in, they're under military law. They cannot make phone calls, emails. Everything has been frozen because they're under military law. So to even get an email from them right now is a huge deal. And we received an email last week that for a prayer to be lifted up, and that means that he had to secretly sneak it out to get it to us, and they can't communicate anything with God's name, Bible, prayer, or anything like that.
You forwarded that, didn't you?
Yes,
had
I did.
And stuff. Yeah. Okay.
They were asked, he was asked to come, and they would pick him up in the middle of the night. Now, you talk about a faith step. He's trusting that the people that have asked him to pick him up in the middle of the night truly are Christians. They wanted to pick him up in the middle of the night to travel for many hours in the dark to a secluded place in the woods, to a place in the woods so that he could gather with other believers from all over the region, people traveling extensively long ways to get to this place. And once they got there, it was a house-like kind of thing, a shed kind of thing in the woods. He came in, and they had a whiteboard, and on the whiteboard were Christian praise songs, and they'd been singing and waiting for the preacher, so to speak, to arrive. Well, when praise time was finally over and after prayer time, he stood up to preach, and he looked up and he looked out, and walking by the window were policemen in that region. They're called Popo.
Uh-oh.
And by God's grace, the policemen did not look at him, because if they saw a white man in their region standing up in front of a group of people, you're talking, it would have been death for all of them. And the policeman didn't look in the window. But he immediately knew what to do because they are trained. He went and he just sat in the corner and just acted like he was an observer. And then somebody else, you know, got up in front of the group. The whiteboard still had the praise songs on it. And the policeman came inside the building and started interrogating the people. And it was God's favor for whatever reason, because it was only praise songs. They didn't make the connection that they were preaching.
Wow.
And they just thought they were, you know, singing, and didn't make the connection that they were worshiping. And that was another miraculous moment that God did that. And then they looked over and they saw our friend sitting, and immediately went over to interrogate him. And he played dumb. He does speak fluent. He teaches at the university. And acted like he didn't know what they were saying. And on his passport, they were at, you know, he just, because it's police, he, you know, the first thing you have to do is show your passport. Mm-hmm. So he pulls out his passport and showed it to him. He said they must have been new police trainees or something, because they didn't do anything that they're supposed to do. They didn't ask him where he came from.
Wow.
They didn't ask him his continent, where he grew up. They didn't ask him what he was doing for an occupation. They didn't ask him any of the right questions. It was almost like they were blinded to what they were supposed to do and didn't do what they were supposed to do.
Wow.
And walked away thinking that he was just some non-speaking Englishman sitting in their group, and left. And they were then able to continue their day of preaching and teaching. And then once dark came, then they again sent them out and traveled through the night to get everyone back to where they needed to be. They are in a region that, I mean, they would be persecuted. They would be killed if they were caught. And God guarded them.
Totally.
Now, I want us to start this series off because with us understanding that, I don't think that in America we deal with the extremeness that other people in other countries deal with as far as persecution is concerned. But we have got to know what Scripture has to say, so that if a time should come, or if we are confronted with a form of persecution for our Christianity, we may be the person who can stand up and in complete confidence sit there quietly as he did, and be able to answer the questioning that's going to come. And we're going to find there's many biblical truths that we can glean, that we can take for through this series to equip us in our times of peace. That's why published peace is published before he talks about persecution. We have to understand that peace is there. And that comfort and the mercy and the spiritual poverty. Because once all those have been layered in us, then we are able to handle the persecution when it comes. It's amazing. It's so exciting. And so let's look at it. And I want us to share. The word for persecute is diako. And this means literally or figuratively to be pursued or persecuted or followed after. And the question I want us to ask for this month, because honestly, if we're not being persecuted for what we're doing, we have to, commentators, I mean, Spurgeon and...
Barclay.
Yes, and I'm thinking, oh, Andrew Murray, just different past theologians. They say if you're not being persecuted, you have to ask whether or not your faith is what it is.
Mm. Wow.
And the question that they pose for us to ask ourselves that I put in this series, I word it in my own words. I don't remember how they worded it. But my question was, is I started asking myself when I wrote this, God, am I eligible for the kingdom of God? And the reason why we want to ask that is I want you to think about the disciples as they were sitting there on the Sermon on the Mount. Here it is, the most important sermon, because it's the first sermon Jesus gives. And he is sitting there on that sermon on the mount, and he's not sitting on the sermon, he's sitting on the mountain, and he's giving his sermon. And he's looking out at the disciples, and he's speaking this to them. And I wondered, it's like, God, did they get it? When he looked at them and said, blessed are those who will be persecuted. And on this particular passage, I want us to go to it because he says more on this particular one than he does on any of the others. Mm-hmm. So turn in your Bibles with us to Matthew 5. And I'll ask one of y'all to read it in a second. But I can't do that until I look because I don't remember through which verse I want us to read. Sabrina, would you read for us verse 10 through
12?
Yes, thank you. All the way through 12.
Matthew 5?
Yes.
Okay. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and falsely say every kind of evil against you because of me. Be glad and rejoice, because your reward is great in heaven. Mm-hmm. For that is how they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
Okay. All right. This is amazing. Mm-hmm. He's telling us it's a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, that's an oxymoron.
Right, to be persecuted.
I don't know about you guys. Do you like it when somebody is after you? Do you like it when, I mean, as this definition says, when you are pursued, persecuted, followed after, this means that it's relentless.
Right.
This means that this is in your face. I'm gonna mess with you until you are broken.
Mm.
And
so if you're not being, if you don't have that in your life,
you know, that according to the theologians, that if we are truly walking with Christ, we will have those that will be after us.
And on various
levels.
Extremes, yeah.
It's levels. Not going to be death necessarily, but it will be where you're being ridiculed. And I can give an example.
It could be family.
Yeah.
Could be in the home.
Okay.
Yes, I know you face it.
With my family. Yeah, family.
Well, you can with anything. I mean, just think about...
But not...
Mm-hmm. I had a family member look at me and say... You know, everything you do, and this is a person that is a fellow believer, everything you do has to be about the Word of God. Mm. And that was the tone that it was said to me. And my answer was, if I'm walking with Christ and truly allowing the Word of God to be a part of who I am, mm-hmm. everything I do has to be through the Word of God. Otherwise, don't count my Christianity as real.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
And so
that's an example of persecution. Okay.
Right.
I got
yes.
it.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be like that you're about to be killed. You know what I mean? It
can be a
they
verbal
mock you,
attack.
They insult you. They lie about you.
Yes.
All because of Christ. Christ in you. That's coming out. I think it's about when you said the theologians have passed, like if you're not experiencing it, then you really need to question your walk. It's so true because I think there's so many closet Christians that aren't living out their faith. And... Yeah.
Afraid to let the true light of Christ because of wanting to please man.
Right.
Yep.
We will often back off from being what God has called us to be.
Yep.
And it's the fear of man that keeps it from happening.
Fear of man. I think the nation is changing in terms of what our foundation was to
completely
how it's believed to be now.
Completely.
So that's quieting people as well, unfortunately. I think even recently I was persecuted. We just finished Christmas, right? Because of our choice not to have or talk about Santa and not even do that stuff. And so persecution came my way from fellow believers too, you know, but just I think it's with your own conviction and what the Lord is speaking to you and you living it out, people are going to come and people are going to attack.
Right.
You know, the enemy's just using them.
And they can also persecute you from behind your back too, right?
Absolutely.
Oh yeah, well you're not going to have a clue where somebody maligns you and tries to destroy your character.
Lies about you.
Yeah. Okay,
lies.
So it doesn't necessarily mean that they're following after you face to face. It's a lot.
Let's reread the verse again. You want to do it, Tanya?
Yeah, the NLT, this is what I'm reading from. The NLT is great. It says, God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven.
Completely.
Got it.
Okay. And this is an amazing thing when we start pondering through this and thinking through it. Because this is where it's truly showing Christ in us. Because how we respond to an insult, to a mocking, to a persecution, to a verbal attack, to a lie against our character, that reveals our character to the fullest measure.
Oh, yes.
And so this is where we will truly see what our Christianity is made of. And the hardest thing is to be Christ-like when we respond.
In the response. The beginning part isn't just living your life out.
Right.
You know, standing up for truth. It's the response to the attack, which will be... Oh.
And to turn the other cheek.
Yep.
It is to turn the other cheek.
Yep. And you know, show love just as Christ did. I mean, stand up for truth, but show love.
Show love. It has to be, because if it's not love, then we're a clanging cymbal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't want to be a clanging cymbal.
No.
I don't know about you guys.
Me neither.
I think on this, and as I was studying this lesson this morning, I just started to cry. I'm like, God, you know, I want it. I want it to be real, and I want it to be evident in me, and I want to be able to love my enemy as myself. Mm. And to love my neighbor as myself. But at times, I fall short of the glory of the Lord.
Yes.
And the thing is that's where we have to, in our humility, to keep going back and becoming that crushed pauper, confessing our sin, and learning to be merciful, and to give the comfort that others need in their time of need. We're so glad that you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts. And boy, we just barely touched on this. And we're like, oh, wow, our time is up. I want you to come back and listen next week as we're going to continue for 3 more weeks on Blessed Are Those Who Are Persecuted. I know it's an oxymoron, but trust me, it's worth knowing and having these truths embedded in your heart to apply in your life. I wanted to say hi to Randy. I was stopped by Randy last month, and he said, I listen to your radio show regularly, and he's a very godly man at my church, and I was just extremely humbled that a man of God would take the time to listen to our radio show. God bless.
That's